Hey there, welcome to Embrace Your Strengths podcast. You're going to hear inspiring stories of men and women who are embracing their top five Clifton strengths in all kinds of ways. You'll be encouraged to understand more about what's so great about you, learn how knowing, developing, living more moments using your strengths can bring you joy and purpose in your life. I'm your host, Barbara Colo. Hi there, welcome to Embrace Your Strengths. In today's episode, you're going to hear from Tim Castile, who's a team leader with Crew at the University of Arkansas. You will hear how understanding more about his unique mix of strengths of input, learner, competition, analytical, and strategic, that he leans towards a lot of thinking, reading, reflecting, and analyzing. I love how he began to leverage his strengths in reading more purposefully. And one way in doing that was reading the Bible more to build his house on a rock, as it says in Scripture, to be a better father, husband, and better at his job. It helped him to encourage students and himself to put his phone down and read more of God's Word. He has so many gems of wisdom in our conversation. Mostly, I love hearing how, as he leads and learns more about himself and helps his teammates do the same, they are all impacting college students' lives in tremendous ways for God's kingdom. If you want to learn more about your strengths for you or your team, email me at barbaragcolwell@gmail.com. I'd love to come alongside of you. Hope you enjoy our conversation. Hi there. Welcome to Embrace Your Strengths. I'm excited for you today to hear from my next guest, Tim Castile in Fayetteville, Arkansas. Welcome, Tim.
Thanks for having me.
I am really excited to talk with you just about who you are and what you've been doing the last years and just your life in ministry. And I would love for you to introduce yourself, who you are, where you live, and what you do.
Well, like Barbara said, my name is Tim Castile, and I'm on staff with Crew at the University of Arkansas. I've been on staff with Crew for 26 years. 20 of those have been here in Fayetteville, Arkansas. I'm at the University of Arkansas. I lead the Crew ministry here. I have 5 kids with my wife, Mandy, who's also been on staff for 25 years. And I have 2 daughters at the University of Arkansas and another son headed there in the fall. And so kind of in the midst of, I've been on the college campus for a few decades, and now my kids are on campus, which is really fun. It's fun to see them on campus, and it's fun to kind of my worlds are coming together. So
That's great. Well, I know we've, like you say, you've been on staff, and I think that's obviously how our paths have crossed, just through our work with Crew over the years. And I loved how when I first started doing this, leading workshops and talking to people about what their strengths are, you were one of the first people to jump on and say, hey, come do this with my team. And I remember Pidge, she was my boss at the time, and she's like, well, maybe you want to wait till you know your stuff a little better before you go. I'm like, no, I'm going. They want me to go. And it was like diving off the deep end, because there was 24 folks when we sat in that room and kind of talked through what all the people's strengths were and what that meant. And so I loved it. And I have been on a big learning curve ever since I started talking to people about their strengths. But tell what your top 5 strengths are and kind of what that has looked like for you. And then we'll get into more what it means in regards to your work and your team.
Well, that was such a, I mean, when you came up, it was helpful. I think for me personally, it was a very helpful time to kind of figure out my strengths. I think it was the first time I've ever taken StrengthsFinder. And for whatever reason, it's probably in the top 2 most helpful tools I've ever taken, where it's really helped me diagnose what are my strengths? What am I good at? What should I be spending my time doing? So that was really personally helpful when you came up and did that with our team. And I know that was true for many people on our team. I don't know if this is legal. I've taken the StrengthsFinder test a few times now, and this is kind of a, you know, the all-time best 5, top 5, I would say. I've come up a little bit different on the different tests I take. But these sound right. These have come up on all the tests. And so input, learner, competition, analytical, strategic. Those are the 5 that I think are the most true of me, and the ones that seem to be the repeated offenders on the StrengthsFinder test.
Okay. Yeah, that's great. I know what kind of what I'd written down, I think, was maybe the first time that you took it, because they're a little different order. But yeah, tell me, so what do those look like for you, and kind of how do those resonate with you? I know some of them are maybe ones people might not be quite as familiar with, but kind of unpack what that means for you.
I think so, kind of going down the list. Input is, I love to collect information. I read a ton. I love collecting. I'm kind of like a squirrel collecting nuts with ideas. Like I read and collect quotes. And when I read, I at the end of reading a book, I'll copy and paste all my highlights into Evernote. And then I will go back through my Evernote and kind of highlight stuff again, that I'm the best of the best highlights, and just kind of synthesize it. And so I just love input. I love reading new ideas and collecting ideas. And learner is similar to that. I love learning, but just I think I'm always drawn to new ideas and to new things. And for whatever reason, that's really exciting to me. The third one, competition. I want to win. I want to know what the score is, and I want to figure out how to win and have a strong drive to be the best. So it's a pretty true fact about myself. Always has been since playing sports growing up. And analytical, I get a thrill from looking at data and figuring out, here's a pattern, amidst all the kind of all the data that I see, kind of getting down to root causes. And so a lot of my reading is like about reaching this generation for Christ, how to reach Gen Z or whatever the current generation is on the college campus, how to help my own kids walk with God or just survive in the world. And I really am driven to get down to what are the root causes, like why is this happening? Why, how do we get to now? And also just why are all these weird things happening in our society or on among this generation? And then the last one, strategic, which is a little bit similar, but it's kind of seeing patterns where other people see complexity, can kind of, see through the clutter to see the best route we should take. Like, what of all the things that are happening, okay, what does that mean? How do we actually map a course to the future for me and in college ministry? What do we do about all that? What's the best way to reach college students with the gospel? And then how do we, I like strategy. I like talking about, I like helping people think through what to do next. And just for myself, trying to figure out, here's what, of all the things we could do, here's the best route to take.
Yeah, that's awesome. Well, and then as we kind of unpacked it in during the different workshops, as we look at your strengths, you're called what's called a thought rocket, because you have four strengths that are in the reflecting quadrant and one that mobilizes others. So what was there anything in particular with that, even that description, that you thought, oh yeah, that's what I am?
Yeah, it helped me embrace. I remember, what you said, 9 years ago, maybe, I remember doing this, and I think it helped me embrace who God made me, that it's okay that I tend to be more in the thought world. I tend to be more in the reading and learning and writing, and that's a good contribution to the body of Christ for me to do that, to spend my time to do that. Even just hearing, I think you told me way back then, like that's a really rare combination, a really rare outcome for strengths. And that was good to know. Like that's, I'm not trying to be a unique snowflake or anything, but just, it's just good to know, like I need to do that. Like if I don't do that, who else will in the body of Christ? Who else will put in the work to read and take in a ton of input and put it all together and come up with a strategy? Like there's very few people doing that in the world, much less, in college ministry or in the Christian world. And so it helped me want to be okay with spending time doing that, but also to want to like feel a stewardship of that I really want to be a good steward of that God's, for whatever reason, made me good at that and made me like, I enjoy that. It's not work for me to do that stuff. Anyway, that was all really helpful for me to get clarity on. So I don't know what came first. So about that time, and it may have been, I have no idea, honestly, like the cart or the horse or what came first, but it was right around that time that I did not read any books at that point in my life. Like I may have read two or three books a year at the most, as far as finishing a book. And I kind of started, I don't know, whatever. I think I started reading Harry Potter. My wife was reading, my kids were reading Harry Potter. So my wife read it. Mm-hmm. And she's like, you should read it. It's really fun and just kind of help you connect to the kids. And so I read it and I loved it. And I was like, I like reading. This is really fun. I really like reading. And I started to read. And that year I was like, I'm going to start reading. I'm going to set a goal. And I think I read 17 books that year. And this is about 9 years ago. And later that next year, I was like, I want to read more than that. I really enjoyed that. And so the next year I read 52 books, and the next year I read 104 books, and the next year I read like 110. Like, it was just some reason it all clicked about that time. And I don't know how much StrengthsFinder played into that, but it all happened about the same time. So it could have been me really figuring out that's what I'm good at. Like, I'm good at taking in content. Now I read more like 50 to 70 books a year, because I felt like 100 was like drinking from a water, hydrant, fire hydrant, where I feel like I was taking in, I had too much input and not enough output, like I'm not doing anything with this information. Like, I have just too much to handle. And I feel like 50 to 70 is more of a sweet spot for me. At the same time, I started to read my Bible every day, and I've been on staff for 16 years at that point. You know, I've been a professional Christian for 16 years.
Yeah.
And so I think a lot of it, there's dominoes, you know, like I was learning about habits in my personal life as I read, and I was starting to read and figured out that I enjoy input and I really enjoy reading. And I did StrengthsFinder about that same time. And so it's kind of a personal renewal that happened. And I realized, like, I need a Bible reading plan. Like, a read through the Bible in a year plan works really well for me. And I started doing that. You know, I've done it 9 years in a row now. I went from rarely reading my Bible every day to I always read my Bible every single day, just because I'm in the habit of it. And part of that was, I don't know, discovering, I don't know what I did before 2015. Yeah. I don't really know what my strengths looked like before that. If you had asked me, I mean, I didn't read any books, so I don't know what I was doing as far as input, learner, analytical.
That's exciting.
Yeah. I mean, I'll tell you what I did. I read a ton of blogs. I checked like 100 different blogs online. And so I was definitely taking in input, but it was just really scattered and really not fruitful, I will say. It was very disjointed. But I still don't know what I did, you know, what did it mean to be an input and learner and analytical person back then? Because now I feel like I've refined that to what I'm really enjoy and what I'm good at. It definitely made a huge impact in my life.
That's awesome. Well, I know, I remember we've been friends on Facebook for a while, but I remember you would post about things you were reading. And I don't know if I tied it together, because I guess I knew that you had the strengths because we had talked about it. But yeah, that's a neat just component as you kind of talk about that, because I would see how you were kind of resourcing people about things that you were reading about different topics and stuff like that. So you're kind of on a journey to help make your reading and input more accessible and helpful to other people. But I'm sure that's kind of a lifetime of, like, what does that really mean?
Yeah, I do think it was perfect timing. Because I'm looking back now, like, so I did StrengthsFinder in 2015, maybe in the fall. Did you come in the fall?
Yeah, I think it was the fall. Mm-hmm.
So at that point, I'd already decided to read more. Like, I was in the middle of reading my 17 books that year. So it wasn't like the beginning of it, but I think that maybe poured gasoline on the spark that was there of, like, some reason I discovered I need to stop looking at Twitter so much and stop looking at my phone so much and stop reading so many blogs, and reading books is a far better return on my investment. And then I think getting the clarity from StrengthsFinder, it gave me a little more confidence to say, like, oh, this is something I need to invest time in. And anyway, so I think it was a perfect timing. And God provisional, you know, in his sovereignty brought you to Fayetteville, Arkansas, and gave you the passion to help people with this. And it really helped me just in my personal life with reading and getting to understand my gifts and my strengths. It was perfect timing for me. I was primed for it.
That's great. Well, how in particular, I know, like you said, you like to read about the students these days and the culture of people and where they are, but what are other ways that you think, or even helping resource other students or staff or people in general? Like, do you have certain ways or things that you recommend, or just kind of depends on what opportunities come up? Is there something that you think, yeah, I love to talk to people about this topic now, or resource people more effectively?
Yeah, my favorite things to talk on, or that I am most passionate about, I mean, probably reading the Bible will be number one. I think I've seen that in my life. And like I told you, kind of my short story of just discovering how to read the Bible on a consistent basis. Like, it was life changing for me. Just personally, it's the answer to everything in life: to be a better father, a better husband, better at my job. I don't care if you're in ministry or not. I think learning to develop the habit of consistently reading God's word, it was truly life changing for me. And I think it's what Jesus said, that building your house on a rock, that's what a house on the rock is. If you hear God's word and you do it, you obey it. And so how do you put yourself in a position to consistently hear God's word on a daily basis and meditate on it day and night? That's for sure my favorite thing to talk, to speak on or write on or talk to students about. And yeah, so other ones, I think, so this is, it seems like a different topic, but it's not. I think I love talking on stop looking at your phone, because, you know, I personally was extremely addicted to my phone in the early days of the iPhone and social media, Twitter, and still am rather addicted to my phone. So, but if you had to graph out my growth in reading the Bible, it was inversely correlated to my addiction to my phone. And so me getting unaddicted to my phone and learning how to, you know, just wean myself off of that, suddenly I had hours in my day to read books and to read the Bible. And so those two go together. Like, I'm very passionate about helping people understand the effects of giving our attention to screens all day long and what that does to our brain and how it makes us a distracted people, how it makes us disjointed and just unable to think deep thoughts. And we as Christians, we are the people of the book, and we're trying to read a 2,000-year-old document that's pretty hard and challenging to read and understand. And our phones fragment our attention and make it almost impossible to think deeply for more than a few seconds. And so, love talking about that. I do love talking about, you know, Gen Z and how to understand this generation and anxiety and kind of what are some of the sources of that anxiety? What's some of the sources of the mental health issues of this generation? Cause I've been on campus for a few decades, and I have, you know, 5 kids who are in the teenage years. So I have it in my house. So I'm a student of it constantly.
That's great. I would love to hear, well, that's kind of convicting. I appreciate you sharing that. I think we all, no matter where we are, who we are, we all need to be on our phones less. So thank you for that word.
True story.
Yeah. I would love to hear a little bit more, even as you've done this. We've done it twice with your team, because I came back a couple years ago, and some of the same people, some new people, but how, to me, it seems like a strategic move to help your team understand their strengths too, but even how you've seen the benefit of it for your team to understand their strengths, and even you as you're leading these people to understand them more.
Yeah, obviously I thought it was beneficial enough to bring you back. I thought it was great. And very, like you have already shared personally how it benefited me. But I think it's one of the best tools to help develop my staff and help them understand themselves and how they have been wired, and tremendously beneficial for even understanding how we work together. Like, if you know StrengthFinder at all, you would know I need an activator in my life to get me to actually do something with all the information that I have in my head. It's good for me to have an activator. Just learning how we work together in our team and as a body of Christ, and how to see the strengths and people that are a little bit harder to see. Some of mine might be harder to see because they're more in my head. They're not out tangibly in the world mostly. And so being able to value the people on our team and be able to see, like, oh, they bring a lot to the table when it comes to this strength. And that's been, I think it's helpful to see, you can only see the world through your eyes, right? So how is it possible that someone else would value and have strengths in an area that you have literally never thought of, or you never you consider it a weakness, not a strength, helping to value that and to see how the body of Christ works. I think it's a pretty powerful tool.
Yeah. Well, I wish that I'd look to be reminded of what the top five strengths were of your team when we met 2 years ago. But even as you think about just your mission statement for your team and what y'all are trying to accomplish, what is that? I know some people that are listening might not even really know, like, okay, what is a team leader? What are they really after? Is there meeting with students on campus? And what's kind of your goal and vision for students that are involved with the ministry there?
So on our campus, like part of the competition, part of me is, and I've really honestly, to kind of a quick aside on that, on competition, I've really struggled with that on, can a Christian ever have competition as their, you know, one of their top five strengths? Is that ever a strength when we're supposed to be humble and,
yeah,
and just not compare? Like, you're not really supposed to compare yourself to others and try to beat them. And that doesn't seem like a very Christ-like thing. And honestly, I don't have any brilliant answers on that, but I want to win. I know I have a strong drive, a strong ambition to be the best at whatever I want, what I'm trying to do. And hopefully I can do it in a way that's honoring to God and not, you know, making a great name for myself or my team or, but I do think, I mean, it does help to see what are most people doing, or where is the standard and how can we exceed it and be the best in the world? That I think there's something godly about doing your best and trying to striving right. to, if you're going to do something, go all the way and then do it for, do it for the glory of God, but also do it to the best of your ability. I think that's honoring to God, but I have wrestled with that one in particular. And how can a Christian mm-hmm. have that one? Do you have any ideas on that, Barbara? Not to put you on the spot, but.
Well, I think keeping it, like you said, even with the other things you know that are true as a believer, you know, you're, like it says, Paul was run your race to win. And I think
that's true.
The idea of competition, it's a mobilizing strength to help mobilize others too. Maybe when the focus is just for your own glory, which it's not bad to want to do well, but as you kind of keep reminding yourself of like the bigger picture of doing what honors God in the whole scheme of whatever that task might be. And to encourage others, it's like, okay, maybe for your team to be really working hard to reach more students and get to more places around the world. Or, I mean, I think that there's a lot of benefits to it, but yeah, I think probably most people kind of have that initial reaction of like, oh, it can be ugly. I think people that don't yes. really have a Christian perspective can make it look a little more not attractive.
Self-aggrandizing, or I would guess yeah. Paul did have competition in this top five strength finder.
Yeah.
You should run an analytics on him and see what his strengths are.
I know.
Yeah, he wanted to proclaim the gospel where no one had ever preached it. He wanted to win the race. And anyway, so the three things that we want to be the best in the world at here at the University of Arkansas with Crew, we want to reach the really lost. Like, we want to go after the hardest to reach students on campus, students who have no intention of following God in college. We want to reach students who will never darken the door of a church. That's who we're going after. Like, a lot of campuses in the South, University of Arkansas has a lot of great ministries and churches. And we know some students will just come to campus ready to walk with God and follow God. And that's great. We want to go after the students who want to party and are going the opposite direction from God. That's who we feel, you know, a responsibility to reach and a desire to reach. And we want to be, you know, we want to be the best in the world at doing that. The second thing we want to do on campus is we want to teach students to read their Bibles. Partly comes from my, you know, my bent towards mm-hmm. God's word and input and wanting yeah. to learn. And I think the Bible is the highest ROI as far as it's 100% truth and gold. And it's, if you're wanting to learn, there's no better book to read than that. So it's really in line with my strengths, but we want to teach students how to read their Bible. Students are biblically illiterate. This generation is. Most have never read their Bible. Most have never, I would say 99% of students who call themselves Christians have never read the whole Bible. And so we just want to teach students how to do that with it. they don't read anything, much less the Bible. So they don't read books. They don't read.
Right.
They look at TikTok and they watch, you know, cat videos on Instagram. So they don't, they can't, their brains literally can't focus long enough to read. And so we want to teach them how to do that. How do you sit down and spend 30 to 45 minutes reading your Bible every day? And how do you develop that muscle and that skill? And I think Romans 12, where it says, you know, you can be transformed by the renewing of your mind, like literally rewire your brains so you can comprehend God's word. You can understand the will of God, that which is good and acceptable and perfect. And so I think that's what we're trying to do, is we're trying to rewire their brains to where it's, part of that's getting them to look at their phones less. And it's a long process, but how do you teach students how to want to read God's word and how to do it actually on a daily basis and get up early and things like that. And then the third thing we want to do is we want to send out missionaries to the world for a lot of reasons. I think University of Arkansas is just perfectly situated to send out missionaries. Just we're in the Bible Belt. We got a lot of great missions organizations here in town. We got a lot of great missions, global missions focused churches. And so I think going back to the competition strength, I think we can be the best sending campus in the world as far as sending out global missionaries. I think we can. Currently, that's Texas A&M. If you want to know the scoreboard, Texas A&M is currently number one. We're probably number two. But I think we have been really blessed by God to be able to do that unique part of that's our unique role we can play in the body of Christ, is we can send out a ton of global missionaries from the University of Arkansas. So we're trying to do that.
Well, I love just hearing that vision. And I think knowing, like, yeah, when I was a college student, I was gripped by this same message, you know, of like, what does it mean to impact the world and invest my life into others who are going to teach others also? And I think it's so invigorating and inspiring to think about, say, the different students that you're reaching that other people might not be getting to, but even I'm sure each summer, as the summer starts, to even see just the joy of people that y'all are sending out to different places. Where's y'all's place that you send most to from Arkansas these days?
We are focused on sending to the Middle East is primarily where we send to.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's exciting. Well, is there any particular story that you have of even, I mean, I'm sure boatloads of different people, students that their lives have been changed, or just anything that anybody that comes to mind, you think, wow, what a blessing to get to connect with this person and see their life changed in their heart for what God cares about.
I tend to think I'm not the most relational person, Barbara. You may not know this from my StrengthsFinder, but I could tell you hundreds of stories of students whose, you know, lives are dramatically personally changed. I think big picture, I think it's incredibly encouraging what God's doing in this generation because it's so dark. I think it's a really, really dark feel on the college campus and in today's world. I think you feel that from watching the news. Just in the last 10 or 15 years, I think the world feels really heavy and dark and almost hopeless. Like, you know, it's just all going down the tubes and it's all, you know, there's not much hope for the future of our country or for the young people. And I think that's the times that God works, is in the really dark times. I think the last time our country's been in a situation like this was probably in the 60s, the late 60s. And from 68 to 72, if you've seen the Jesus Revolution movie, kind of captures this. But from 68 to 72, the gospel swept across the college campus, all across the U.S., and Crew started on a ton of – that's when Crew started at the University of Arkansas. My parents became Christians in college in that window from 68 to 72, both of my parents. Through Crew at the University of Oklahoma. And I think something similar is happening right now, at least at the University of Arkansas. I can't speak for the nation, but I get the sense that something is happening across the nation. But we've seen, just especially in the Greek system among sorority and fraternity students, we have seen hundreds of students come to Christ in the last few years. Just to give you, this isn't like, it's a spring break mission trip, so it's not the best encapsulation of total life change, but it kind of captures what's happening here on campus. So we send a spring break summer mission, a spring break mission trip, partnering with Filter of Hope to Central America. And 3 years ago, we sent 17 Greek students on this trip. And the next year, 100 students went on the trip. And this year, we had 300 Greek students from the University of Arkansas go on this trip. And probably half the trip are not even Christians. Like, they're if they are Christians, this is the first thing they've ever done that's not partying in college. Like, they're wild. Wow. Like, these are students who are really, really far from God. And God's working in their life. And students become Christians on this mission trip. And then the churches in our area are filling up with college students. Like, it's kind of standing room only, having to put like 100 chairs in the lobby because there's so many students coming to church right now. And so it's just exciting, just and what God's doing among this generation of, they're really lost students. Like, they're wild. They're doing crazy drugs and just, they're not good kids. And I think when God gets a hold of their life, there's radical life transformation. It's night and day. So anyway, it's really, really encouraging what God's doing right now.
That's just exciting.
So yeah, it's a little snapshot of kind of, especially among Greek students, what God is, so many students are starting to follow God.
Wow. That's exciting. That's so encouraging to hear. And I know it's just a group team effort of each of you that are on your team. And I know, even like you say, other ministries that are happening there, but just seeing the ways the Lord is using y'all to reach these folks. And wow, I want to hear what's happening with them this summer, next year. I mean, just in what's ahead for their lives. That's great. Well, I know we could chat about so many different things, but I love your insight. And even like you say, how as you understood your strengths, it kind of helped you tweak things a little bit and just even embrace that of really continuing to lead and to use your lot, like you say, lots of thinking, lots of reflecting strengths, but for the glory of God, to really mobilize other people and help them consider things that they don't. I know, like, my husband Warren has a lot more thinking, reflecting strengths than me, and we all need each other and we're all so different. But I think to really see, yeah, that God made you that way for a reason. And how can you keep using all of your input, reading, reflection for just His glory? So it's exciting. Well, I have one last question I love to ask people. What has brought you joy lately or put a smile on your face?
Honestly, so I just had my birthday this last weekend and it put a smile on my face. Two of my sons, you know, they're in their teenage years and they're not the most, I don't know, they kind of just are thinking about themselves a lot, but two of my sons at my birthday dinner, they asked really thoughtful questions and really, you could tell they were trying to think about what would Dad want to talk about. One of them asked, Dad, what was your favorite book you read this year? And then the other one asked,
that's a great question.
Yeah. For me, it was like, that's my love language. That's what I want to talk about. And he knows that. Another one asked just what has been my high of the year, but just really meaningful. Like, they really were intentional. And anyway, put a smile on my face. It was really sweet and really, I felt loved.
Oh, that's great. So good. Well, Tim, thank you so much for making time to chat with me. And I love, just inspired, encouraged to hear about you and what your strengths and all the ways that that's looked. And I know so many other avenues of how they show up, but thanks for the things that we got to chat about. So take care.
Well, thanks for investing in my life and our team's life. I think it obviously made a huge difference in my life. So I appreciate you, Barbara.
Thank you so much. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Thank you so much for listening today. I hope this time has given you hope and encouragement about how amazing you are, or helped you understand someone you know or work with or love. If you're curious about your top 5 strengths, you can take the assessment at cliftonstrengths.com. If this episode's been helpful to you, please leave a review, share the podcast with a friend, or subscribe to Embrace Your Strengths podcast. You can find more information at barbaracullell.com. I sure look forward to our next time together. Take care.